Scripture reading for this morning will come from the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 44 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, whom when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it.
What a joy to be together. Are any of you, by show of hands, garage salers? You like to go hit up the garage sales? After the service, I'd love to hear about your latest treasure, your latest garage sale find. You're going to like this story. A man named Rick Norsegian, he was a garage sailor like you. He was also an amateur photographer, and he bought two boxes of photo negatives at a garage sale. He paid $45 for these. This was in Fresno, California. He thought these looked interesting. Again, he was into developing film the old way. Turns out, the negatives were from famed photographer Ansel Adams. Experts believe that the collection is worth $200 million. He sure found a treasure, didn't he? Paid $45, and its estimated value is $200 million. Now, you might think twice if you're at a garage sale and you see a box of what seems to be old photograph negatives. You don't know who they're from. You don't know what they are. You might think twice about spending 45 of your hard-earned dollars on those items. And yet, if you knew it was worth millions, we would all be lined up. We would be fighting for position at that garage sale to buy those photo negatives, right? I mean, it's a great investment. And that's true in all of life and business and our financial affairs, isn't it? As long as the return is greater than the initial capital or cost, then it's a wise choice. And Jesus actually teaches this exact same principle about the kingdom of God. We heard it from the scriptures a few moments ago. Oh, it's going to cost you your life, but you will gain life eternal. So our Lord Jesus says in Mark 8:35, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Because there is indeed no treasure greater than Christ. There is no treasure greater than an eternity spent with the Lord in paradise. That's what we're going to talk about together this morning. So, again, I am thrilled that you are here. My name is John Reisner. I serve as lead pastor at MCA. I'm praying that through our time together, your heart and home grow stronger in the Lord. This morning, I want to look at a few parables. I want to look at two or even three parables. I mean, we do have three churches here this morning, so I guess I figure I can preach three sermons. But again, if you have your Bible with you, go ahead and open it up. Matthew chapter 13. We heard this parable, these two parables a moment ago, beginning with the parable of the hidden treasure, where the kingdom of God is like a treasure that's hidden in a field, and when a man finds it, what does he do? But he hides it again, and in his joy, he went out and sold all he had and went and bought that field. Now, I will say that it's not unusual in the ancient world to bury treasure. There are examples of this in Scripture. There's a parable about a servant who buried one talent. At MCA, we talked about that recently. There are other places in Scripture where we see examples of this as well. In the ancient world, it just wasn't unusual. Right, they didn't have banks like we do. And so on your personal property, your estate, you might have a cache. You might have a treasure trove where you like to keep your valuables. It might be under your tent, behind the barn, 10 paces from the well, I don't know. But this would guard against, like, if a band of robbers comes and they mean ill intent and they mean to rob you, they don't know where your cash is hidden. And so this might protect you from them stealing them. This would, I think, it particularly would happen in times of unrest and war when these sorts of things were happening. Or, as you know, when one army essentially would conquer another, they would plunder them. They would carry off their valuables and their loot. Sometimes circumstances led to them not being able to transport all of that back to their territory. So what would they do? They would bury it. Hidden treasure. Hope they made a map. So this wasn't unusual to see treasure that was buried in the ancient world. Maybe this is a family estate, as we think about the gentleman who finds this treasure. Maybe this was a family estate. Grandpa is the one who hid the treasure. Hey, Grandpa, where's the treasure map? Grandpa doesn't know. So for various reasons, this might be possible. As Jesus tells this, and again, a parable is a story that Jesus tells. It's captivating, it's interesting, but he's really teaching a spiritual truth as he tells this interesting story. So who doesn't love a good story about a treasure hunt? So for various reasons, this is a very possible scenario where a man stumbles upon or finds treasure that's hidden. And that's the story Jesus tells about this man, and he finds treasure. We don't know what the man was doing. Maybe he was just on a hike and he noticed the edge of a treasure box, a treasure chest. Ooh, what's this? Oh my goodness. He unearths it. It's filled with gems, precious jewels, gold. This is worth millions. It's the discovery of a lifetime. I read about a discovery recently, discovery of a lifetime. This happened in the summer of 2022. Three boys made a rare scientific find while they were hunting for fossils in the Badlands of North Dakota. Brothers Liam and Jessen Fisher, their cousin Caden Madsen, they spotted a fossil that was jutting out of a rock. They started digging, and these boys were fossil enthusiasts. They had found many bones. They live in that area. They said, "We knew it wasn't a bison. We knew it wasn't that of cattle. It was something much bigger." What they had found were the fossilized remains of a young Tyrannosaurus rex. For real. Paleontologists, of course, came. They excavated the site. They assembled the skeleton. It's on today, it's on display at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. It's known as Teen Rex because it was a juvenile. Pretty cool. So this guy in the parable in Matthew chapter 13 who stumbles upon, who finds this hidden treasure, we don't know if he was a treasure hunter, if he was just passing through. Maybe he was looking for fossils. Maybe he was looking for Teen Rex. I don't know. But he found a huge treasure. Now he had one problem, didn't he? The field wasn't his. He knew about the treasure that was there, but he didn't have any right to it. He had no claim on the treasure because he didn't own the field in which it was contained. So what does he do? You have your Bible in front of you. Look again, verse 44. We're in Matthew chapter 13. In his joy, he went and sold all he had because he wanted to buy that field. I can just see this guy bursting through the door of his home. "Honey, I'm selling the goats." She's like, "What? You've worked your entire life taking care of that herd of goats. They're practically your pets. What do you mean you're going to sell them?" "I'm selling them. I'm buying a field." "You're buying a field? What field are you buying? Why do you need a field?" "Yep, old Eli Hood's place. Yep. You know, beyond the pools of Heshbon." She says, "Isn't that field abandoned? Nobody even goes out there. What could that possibly even be worth?" He goes, "What? Yeah, I want it. I'm probably going to need to sell the sheep too. And the camels and the donkeys. Actually, I'm thankful about selling them. Honey, we're going to need to sell the house too. And the cart and all of your jewelry. And you know that silver cutlery, the ones that we got for our wedding, we got to sell them." The wife is like, "What are you talking about? You're selling absolutely everything to buy an old abandoned field." "Yep. Because honey, it's going to be worth it. Just trust me. It's going to be worth it." So what does the man do? He buys the field. and the treasure is his. We don't get the rest of the story. Jesus doesn't embellish and go on about this man's life, but we know it was worth it. Whatever he had before pales in comparison to what he has now, for he has hit the mother lode. He unearthed the treasure of all treasures. It's far more valuable. And with that, my friends, Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. The things that we focus on, the things that keep us from selling it all and buying that old abandoned field, Jesus says, it's worth it. Because the true treasure, as Jesus is helping us understand, as he's teaching his disciples here, is the gospel. The true treasure here is a life lived with Christ. This good news, this wonderful news that there is life eternal, that there is hope for you and I. And of course, as we understand eternity spent in the Lord's presence, Christ himself is the ultimate treasure. Christ himself. And notice the man in the parable, verse 44, notice the man's reaction here. It's not somber and sad and dour and upset and torn and conflicted. It's joyful. In his joy, he went and sold all he had. Now compare that to the rich young ruler that Jesus encounters. And he wanted to hold on to what little things he had. He wasn't willing to give those up in order to gain the greatest treasure of all, and he went away from Jesus sad. Jesus has come so that we can have life and life abundantly. This is what Jesus is highlighting with this parable. And friends, I just want to share with you this morning that the Christian walk, it's not just saying a prayer when you're a child and then waiting for the afterlife. Then I'll commune with my Maker. Then I'll enter into glory and a life with him. The Christian walk is a vibrant, daily, living hope and relationship with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. What that means then, as it's lived out in the life of a believer, is it means peace amidst the storms. It means joy despite our circumstances. It means an ever-present help in times of trouble. A refuge for all who rest in the shadow of the Almighty, as Psalm 91 says. Let me share this encouraging verse. Isaiah 33:6. He will be the sure foundation for your times. A rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Now, we don't have to look very far to see people who don't acknowledge or fear the Lord, who don't walk according to his ways. Their focus, their goal, it's on physical things. It's on physical treasure or riches or accolades or clout or status. But the kingdom of God is an invisible kingdom. It's an upside down kingdom. Our king came as a newborn baby, laid in a feeding trough to a family in poverty. The man who washed feet, who rode on a donkey, who played with children, who spent time with lepers and sinners and prostitutes. That's our king. It's not the way the world operates. It's not the way the world thinks. Jesus, instead of intimidating his enemies, he loved them. He was willingly led like a lamb to slaughter. He endured the agony of the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And Jesus went to prepare a place for all who turned to him in faith. And Jesus beckons each one to himself, saying, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You cannot put a price tag on that. Jesus teaches this morning from Matthew 13 parables about the kingdom of God, helping us to reorient our thinking, to answer the question, what is truly valuable? What is truly worthwhile? Why would the Son of God go to such great lengths to save a sinful and fallen humanity? I think the next parable speaks to that. The parable of the pearl, verses 45 and 46. I'll read it for us from the NIV. Jesus says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." Now, I think at first read, this parable might be the same as the previous one. You go, okay, the discovery of something of great value, the one who knows about it sells everything in order to have it. Maybe it's the same parable. Maybe Jesus is just reiterating and telling it in a different way. But I think if we look again, and I think if we look closely, we will see a major difference. See, in the first parable, the parable about the hidden treasure, Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field. You see, it's his kingdom that's valuable. And those who hear the good news are like the man who discovered it and in his joy sold everything and went and bought the field. But in this second parable, Jesus doesn't say the kingdom of God is like the pearl, does he? Jesus says the kingdom of God is like what? Somebody help me. The kingdom of God is like a merchant. And what is the merchant doing but searching for fine pearls? And he so greatly values these pearls that when he finds one, he buys it, even at great expense to himself, willing to sacrifice what is precious to him in order to redeem what was once nothing more than a grain of sand that happened to find its way into an oyster. Did a little bit of research this week, learning about pearls. It's fascinating. In this parable, the pearls represent humanity, helpless to save ourselves. For a pearl, you see, is trapped in a shell at the bottom of the sea. It cannot free itself. It cannot grow legs and walk out into culture to say, "Buy me, I'm of great value." It is trapped, it is helpless on its own. Of all the gems and minerals and precious metals of the world, nothing compares to the iridescent glow of pearls. No cutting, chipping, polishing needed to bring out their natural beauty. These are perfectly shaped spheres. They're incredibly rare and incredibly valuable. Thomas Edison once described pearls as an apparent biological impossibility. Pearls form, I don't want us to miss this, pearls form out of brokenness. So it's when something, typically like a bit of sand or perhaps a broken bit of shell or even a parasite, when something lodges itself inside the oyster, it causes irritation, pain, hurt, suffering. And the oyster responds then by coating it with these protective layers called nacre. And then over the course of years, this isn't instantaneous, over the course of years, thousands of layers of nacre form, creating a shiny, translucent ball that is lighter and stronger than concrete. Pearls are amazing. In the ancient world, merchants, as Jesus is, and when Jesus tells a parable, he does it in his cultural context, and so the audience understands. So he talks about merchants, and they go, "Yeah, I got a cousin who's a merchant. Yeah, the merchant comes through our town once a year." Like, these were people who would travel far and wide in search of pearls or other valuables, obviously. And in order to be a successful merchant, you left everything behind. You might sell some of your other goods to finance the trip. You show uncanny determination and resilience. Like, if you knew one of these merchants, you knew their passion. You knew their drive. And what was it? It was seeking items of great value. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like a merchant. This is the heart of God toward humanity, a passionate pursuit. Jesus himself leaves heaven, comes to earth, And why did he come? Oh, he says, to seek and save the lost. We know these from these parables from Luke 15, right? These are very famous parables of lost things. Lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. And what's the response when each of these is found and discovered and secured? Joy. Joy on earth, joy in the heavens. So let me ask you a question this morning. How are you responding to Christ's pursuit of you as a valuable treasure made in the image of God? Will you trust him? Will you surrender to him as Lord of your life? Will you ask him to forgive you of your sins and make you new? Let's go ahead and do the third parable that's here, Matthew chapter 13. It's called the parable of the net. So starting in verse 47, Jesus gives the third parable. He says, once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. And when it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore, and then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. And Jesus says, this is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I want to be clear that what Jesus is talking about here when he says the righteous are those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Not a particular denomination, not a particular skin tone, not a particular last name or background. Those who are trusting, putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Saved by grace through faith. Salvation through the shed blood of our spotless Lamb, Jesus. That's who he means when he says the righteous. Not just good people, not just people who seem to do a lot of good things. Now the wicked, on the other hand, are those who have rejected him. Those who have mocked him, continued to live in slavery to sin, and we see what their end will be, separation from God for all eternity. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And maybe you're here today and you're ready to make that decision to give your life over for the glory of God. To repent of your sins and ask Jesus to take control. I would love to pray with you. Let's meet up after the service and do that. Your soul is so precious to Jesus that he died for you. Today would be a good day to step out in faith, to grab that treasure, as we've just heard about, to recognize that you are the pearl of great price, that the purchase price was the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that he bought you, that he claims you as his own. Why? Because you are valuable in his sight. What good news. That there is a God who made you and who loves you. And that same God pursues you with an untiring love. Like a merchant on mission with great passion. And so, friends, for each and every one of us today, let's respond by trusting him. By giving our lives for his glory, by forsaking all else, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. Paul talks about this in Philippians 3. He says, for his sake I have lost all things, and I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. We have what's even better than a garage sale find. True treasure, eternal treasure, the treasure of salvation, the hope of eternity with Christ, and this life with Jesus that begins now and it lasts forever. We have Christ. He has offered himself to us, and we don't need anything else. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in the beauty of this place, we pause to be still and know that you are God. To remember again the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. To humble ourselves before you and with gratitude live in surrender to you and to your will. Thank you, Lord, for this gathering, for these brothers and sisters in Christ. We fix our eyes on you, Lord Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and we pray these things all in your name. Amen.